If you weren't born with a trust fund, but feel like you should have one, you are in the right place. Welcome to Old Money, a podcast dedicated to breaking down the new rules to living well and getting wealthy. I want you to build a life and a legacy that feels rich in every sense of the word. And while I don't have any insider trading secrets, I do have some secrets about how getting rich is actually an inside job. I'm your host, Amber Evenson. Now, let's get into it. Hello, rich girls. Welcome back to Old Money, the podcast for women building the trust funds they wish they were born with. I am your host, Amber Evenson. And what an episode I have for you today. And the reason I know it's so good is because I haven't recorded it once. I haven't recorded it twice. This is the third time I am coming to you to tell you all about building a board of directors to help you run your life. And the fact that I have gotten on the microphone to talk about this three times proves to me this is actually a really good concept because I'm still excited to talk about it. And I've already talked about it twice. And by the way, if you hear anything in the background, my co-host is here with me today. Poppy, say hello. You probably can't hear her, but she is here. Poppy is my co-host for the evening as we are recording this. It's just like if you guys ever watched Girls Next Door and Bridget had her radio show with her dog called the Bridget and Wednesday Friday show. So Poppy's here breathing heavily in the background and I am here to connect with you. I just want to say, let me tell you what's been going on. So first order of business, so to speak, this will all tie up in a pretty little bow, I promise. But the first thing I want you to know about is that the Old Money Annual Listener Survey is open and I want your feedback. So you can go to the show notes, you can click on the link and there's a quick survey where you can tell me all about how you listen to the podcast, what you like, what you don't like, what you want to hear more of, all that good stuff. And I've been reading the responses, by the way. Thank you guys so much for just your support. And 50% of you say you hate when I talk about housewives and 50% say you love when I talk about housewives. So no conclusion on that, but we will persist. But one of the things that you guys have said and that you want, and I'm working hard to deliver for you, is a video component. And I have gotten in my own way about this video piece so much because, as we know, every level, there's a new devil. As you grow, as you expand, as you try new things in your business, in your personal life, you're going to hit resistance. And I was hitting a lot of resistance for stupid things. I mean, I don't want to discredit myself, but I mean, from the outside looking in, you'd probably say that's silly. Like I was saying things like, I don't want to put on makeup. Like I don't want to be on camera. Who even wants to watch me? It's just me in my office. Like, is that even interesting? Is it worth my time? How am I going to edit this? And so I've been working behind the scenes to try to figure it out. And I thought we've had the system down and it was a go because 74% of you asked for this. I'm like, okay, it's kind of overwhelming and it's something that would bring value. Then let's do it. So I started on this journey of recording the podcast on video. By the way, I mean, I just did it so successfully with Old Money Mindset. And I was like, okay, I can do this again. I can do this every week. It's what's different. Like put your makeup on, neighbor, like stop complaining. So I went and did it. And the first time I recorded it, I sent it to my editor and she's like, so sweet. And she's like, there's no audio. And I wanted to die. And I recorded it on a Thursday. This was like 2 weeks ago now. And I had to buck up and put my big girl panties on after wallowing in the upset that it didn't work. And I re-recorded it. And I was like, you know what? This is a lesson from the universe to say, refine your message, make it better. This is another at bat, like go get it, girl. And so I recorded the second redo of the podcast on video, doing everything right, double checking the audio as I always do, but who knows what happened on the first one. And then as she's editing the second one, halfway through the video doesn't have audio anymore for no reason. For no reason, the audio just goes out halfway through. So of course the podcast is now again unusable. And so this is now my third time coming on the mic to talk about this one topic. And I totally just couldn't even bring myself last week to tell you guys what was going on because it was just too like, it's too challenging. It's like the last thing you need to go wrong is a technical issue because it's such a stupid small thing. I record, this is 121 episodes that we're on right now and I've recorded them all on audio. There's no issues. I know what to do. La-di-da. It's so easy. But it's like when you want to try something new, it just can be so hard. And so obviously, you know me, I have to look at the like spiritual assignment in this and figure out what it is that I need to learn. And a couple of things have come up. And the first thing that I remembered is if we look back at the first episode of Old Money called Make Money Your Boyfriend, I'm talking way back, OGs, you guys know, I had to record that podcast 3 times too. Not because, well, there was audio issues on one of them, but also the first few times I recorded, I said the word like something like 186 times, if I remember correctly. And that's just not the quality you deserve. So I'm taking this again as a spiritual assignment to refine my craft, to figure it out, to get the systems even better than they ever were before, but also to not allow myself to cheap out on the development that I need when this thing comes up, this piece of friction. This is exactly what I teach in Old Money Mindset. It's like something is happening, something is, I'm experiencing something that's going weird in my life. What is the root cause issue? What is the thing that's coming up for me in this that it gives me an opportunity to examine myself and see where I have the opportunity to grow? And so I spent a lot of time with this last couple of weeks of being like, why is this happening to me? And like, what do I need to learn here? Like, where do I have friction? Where do I have resistance? Where am I not letting myself grow? And what has come up for me, to be honest with you, like I do not have fear of visibility. Like I have this weird gene where like I just don't give a fuck what people think about me. I mean, the more you talk about me, the more brand impressions talk about me. I love it. Like I've never worried about what anybody at high school thought about me or anybody that I know that I've dated. Like I just don't care because I know I'm doing great. Like I don't have anything to prove to anybody. So that's never been something in my mind that I've ever needed to prove anything to anybody. But what came through for me actually is not a fear of visibility. It's more about, can I handle this? Like if I grow more, do I have capacity to really handle the responsibility? Because we're talking about some of the most tender topics and the most emotionally charged, scary things in a time where people are really, really struggling with money. And if I say something controversial, or if I say something that's clickbaity, that's going to, you know, do well on TikTok or social media, is that going to attract the right type of audience? Because I work in social media. I know what to clip so that my clips would go viral, right? We do this for our clients all the time, like format it in such a way so that more people click on this or get agitated or start a conversation. And I think that's what I was going into this thinking I was going to do is like, okay, I say all these like off the cuff things and it's going to be an opportunity for me to clip whatever it is so that we can grow the audience. But the reality is I realized that it's not about fast growth for me here at Old Money. I mean, this is more than 2 years that I've been recording podcasts every single week. And the thing that I'm the most proud of is that I am not doing this for followers or listeners. I don't talk about you guys like that. Like if you are a part of this podcast community, you are my friend, you are my community. This is real. Like you're probably DMing me, you're sending me voice notes, you're responding to stuff that I post. I see you. I know your names. I see you so much. Like our podcast audience grew on Instagram because we had a couple of reels really pop off, which was amazing because it introduces us to a new audience. But the real core community, as they talk about in marketing, if you have 1,000 true loyal fans, you've made it. And that's what we have here at Old Money. So for me, it was an opportunity to really pause on the strategy of what I want to clip and what I want to put out there is not the thing that's going to quote unquote go viral or pop off or whatever. I want to have really meaningful, really incredible, positive conversations about money because that is actually what's missing from the zeitgeist. We have all these people up in arms about the patriarchy and the economy and the this and the that. And I wanted to share with you guys that I posted this TikTok. I mean, when was this? This was at the end of August. And the comments are commenting without me even doing anything about it. And it's about the old money advantage. It's about the advantage that we have as parents. I'm not a parent, but you know, if we have younger people in our lives, to teach them about how to live life like a wealthy person. And what I mean by that is teaching them work ethic and teaching them entrepreneurship and teaching them grit and manners and whatever it might be. And there's parents in the comments that are just like loving this conversation. And that to me is honestly a gift. So maybe the whole process of me recording this podcast three times was to get to the root cause issue of the fact that I think I'm supposed to crave growth and I think I'm supposed to get a bunch of followers on TikTok, and that's what I was going to do. And it's not exactly what I want. What I actually want is meaningful conversations. What I actually want are positive conversations about money and wealth that take away the demonization, that take away this hate towards wealthy people or the rich or whatever. And I think my job here is to continue to frame the pursuit of wealth as a healthy, meaningful pursuit, especially for women, because of all of the sovereignty and opportunity and resource that it gives us. And honestly, guys, I'm literally just thinking about this now on the fly. So thank you for being my therapist tonight. But I mean, as I said, where did I start with this? This is the third time recording this topic about the board of directors. I'm here with my notes, real pieces of paper, because that's how I was going to do it on the video podcast. And the video podcast is coming soon. So to back up to where we started this podcast, I have housekeeping for you. The first piece of housekeeping is that the Old Money Listener Survey is live, and I do want to hear from you. I care about what you care about. I want to know your perspective. So please go and answer that. The link is in the show notes. We'll put it on social media as well. Also, as I mentioned, Old Money Mindset is launched. I cannot believe that. I mean, this course is just... Actually, I just literally did the practice right here of like diving deeper, fuck being surface level, diving deeper and feeling out what it is that's really going on when life happens to us and processing it in an emotionally regulated way for my good. That's what that's about. That course is available. It is live right now, so you can go sign up and dive into all the modules and all the live calls that I did, which were bonus trainings, including one on like mastery in business. We did emotional mastery in business. We did emotional mastery during hard times. There's some really good stuff in there. It's available. Link is in the bio on my Instagram, and link is also available in the show notes. But coming up next is Old Money Method. And this is going to be the course that you guys have been asking for, whether you need accountability in getting your money life organized or you need the how-to in getting your money life organized. It's happening in the method. The method, I'm breaking down how I organize my entire life, but most importantly, my money life. It is kicking off with a live workshop that is totally free for you to join. That's going to be on Tuesday, October 28th at 4 p.m. Pacific Standard Time. And on that day, the course is going to drop. So you'll have immediate access to the modules. And here's what is included. Okay. So module number one is going to be all about the wealth architecture. This is building your personal financial blueprint. It's a super elegant, easy structure, because I don't think you should be spending a lot of time managing your money. Like, it should not be an extra job. You should be setting up your money machine and then be done with it. So like after you go through this course, which is going to be just 5 weeks that you could get it all done, you will have your entire money machine set and ready to go for 2026. And all you have to do is tweak it here and there on your money dates. Module number two is all about regulated spending. So we're talking about actually stopping overspending, what it looks like to heal from impulse shopping. And number three, module number three is going to be all about accelerated debt freedom, like how to really get out of debt faster without suffering, without restriction. Module number four is all about preserving wealth. So this is all about automating your savings, all of those kind of like protection mechanisms. And then this is the one you guys have been asking for. Effortless investing. I'm going to talk to you and walk you through. It's going to be screen share. I'm going to set up an investment account with you. I'm going to show you exactly what I would do all the way through, so you know what to do with your money and then how to automate it so that your money keeps growing for you in the background. So the course is going to be launched on October 28th, the day that we have our live workshop. There is a link to register for the live workshop in the in the show notes. And I'll also be doing a little bonus for you. If you use the code EARLY, E-A-R-L-Y, you'll get 20% off before Thursday, October 30th. And of course, we're going to do the sweatshirt bonus, the varsity sweatshirt bonus. So if you sign up by October 30th, you will also get a free varsity sweatshirt. If you already signed up, yes, you are still getting one of those as well. Again, this is the method. This is like 5 weeks. You're going to have it all done. There's homework, there's screen shares, whether you just need to set up your method, set up the machine, set it and forget it kind of a way, or you just need to upgrade it. You want to fine tune it. This is the method that I do to manage my money. The bonus that comes with this one is the money plan workbook, which is a crazy, amazing workbook that can manage your entire financial life. And Kirsten from Cash Consciousness, who saw this last year, she said that this workbook was worth the cost of all of Cash Consciousness. So I am going to get you financially literate in 5 modules. It's happening for sure. So it kicks off again on October 28th with a live workshop. We're going through all of the wealth building techniques that you need in order to get your financial life in order. So that is my housekeeping update for you. I cannot wait to see you guys in there. This has been life changing for me. In fact, let me tell you, let me pull this up really quick. One of these surveys came through of somebody who just finished the Old Money Mindset course. Here it is. This is like Old Money Mindset. Yes, it's about money. It's about handling large sums of money. It's about growing with your money. It's about understanding money. But most of all, it's about emotional regulation and why that's so important in money, with money. Listen to this testimonial. She says, I feel so much better about myself and so much more hopeful about the future, both from a personal and financial perspective. I'm already making changes to how I show up in the world. You've already coaxed me into understanding things about myself I didn't even know I needed to be understood. I can't wait to go on to the Old Money method. You guys, like this is insane. Like, I'm so grateful for the chance to pour my heart and soul about everything I've learned into these little modules for you so that we can learn together, grow together. It's the best thing ever. So I can't wait to see you in there. You know where to find the links. So let's get into what we're talking about today. Finally, you're like, Amber, shut up. It's 16 minutes into this freaking episode and you haven't even told me what we're talking about, which is actually a really good topic. As I mentioned, I've already talked about it 3 times, so I hope you like it as much as I do. But what I'm talking about today is building a board of directors for your life. And the reason this came up for me earlier this year is because I was getting overwhelmed. There is so much information out there. There's so much information about business, about health. Every time I open TikTok, it's like a fake clip of Joe Rogan telling me that I have a fatty liver and I need to do this cleanse. And then you swipe again and it's some other influencer who's like living her best life. And she's like, you need to do yoga 5 days a week. And it's like all these different inputs. And I started to get really frustrated with myself, not with what was happening on social media, but frustrated with myself because I could not focus. It was like every time I listened to a business podcast, I would go do a new project, or every time I heard this or I saw this, I would go start something new, and I was having content ADD. And the reality is that I don't need to listen to everybody because that's what I thought. I was like, why am I listening to this random person and letting her influence me when she's not in my inner circle? Like, she doesn't know my business. She doesn't know my stuff. And you know that I'm very big about running my life like the CEO that I am. Like, yes, I'm the CEO of a business, but I'm the CEO of my life. And that doesn't mean that I need to make every decision alone. Because if you're running a Fortune 500 company or you're a Fortune 100 company, you're one of the Mag 7, if you are a CEO, you have a board of directors, which is a small group of people who are there to guide the company's direction. They're there to make high-level decisions. They're there to hold leadership, including the CEO, accountable. And they offer expertise that the CEO doesn't have. These people are not in the day-to-day. They're not in the operations. They don't care about the clients. They're not dealing with the drama. They're focused on the direction of the business. It's like, where are we steering this ship? Like, you can think about your life as a cruise ship, okay? In the cruise ship, there are like 800 rooms. There's a poop cruise. There's people going crazy. There's people getting murdered. They're thrown off the side. And all that you as the CEO and the board of directors are worried about is, what direction is this cruise ship going? Are we going on a cruise to Alaska? Are we going on a cruise to the Bahamas? Are we going on a cruise to Norway? Are we going to the Mediterranean? Like, what is the direction? If you have a well-run business, then your cruise directors and the internal teams are dealing with scrubbing the toilets and making sure that the people are happy and making sure that there's food and people are fed on time. They're dealing with all of the little operations, and you, as the visionary, as the leader of your life, you have to point your boat in the direction that you want to go. So where's your life pointing right now? Are you pointing to the Mediterranean? Do you have a place to dock so you can, you know, jet into Bagatelle for a little party in the afternoon in Saint-Tropez? Or are you going to Antarctica? And if you don't know where your boat's going right now, that's a great time to call in a board of directors to help you right the ship and figure out what your destination is. I think we've done a lot about the destination, especially in like old money mindset. We've talked a lot about like, what's your dream life? How are you making a living? How are you giving back to the world? Like, what's really happening there? Like, that's the visioning piece, right? But the thing that happens in our lives is that we end up focusing on picking the kids up from daycare, dropping off the dry cleaning, making sure somebody fed the dog, and it's really easy to get caught in the weeds. So when you are creating a board of directors for your life, what I want you to think about is if you were having a board meeting once a month, which, by the way, you should be doing for yourself, who would you want at that table with you? If you had a penthouse New York City boardroom with this big long conference table and you were at the head of it, and to your left you had these incredible floor-to-ceiling windows, you saw all the way across the city, and then, you know, at the windows in front of your table, you had a view of Central Park, and then over on the right-hand side, this huge whiteboard where you're going to jot out all of your dreams and hopes. Who's sitting at that table with you? If you were running a Fortune 500 company, the people that would be sitting at that table with you would be advisors, expanders, mentors, mirrors. They'd be truth tellers. Like I said, they hold the CEO accountable. They're helping you make high-level decisions, and they're going to offer you expertise that you may not have. And the thing about building a board of directors for your life is that these don't have to be real people. They don't have to be people that you have access to. They don't have to actually come with you to a conference room in New York City. They can be people that you follow on podcasts, books that you've read. They could be advisors that you know, or they could be historical figures that are long gone and dead 6 feet under. These can be anybody that you need to help you build out the best team to help you run your life. So I set up my own personal board of directors at the beginning of this summer. And like I said, I did it because I was having a little bit of content ADD, but also because I wanted to get myself focused around who I admire and what I admire about them. So I actually cheated on this whole process by doing this with ChatGPT. And what was really interesting, and don't worry, I'm going to give you the prompt. What was really interesting is that ChatGPT got me halfway there, but didn't connect the dots because they obviously don't know everybody that I know, right? It was kind of like generic responses of like, this is who you should have and this is why, like Sarah Blakely. Like, all the respect in the world to Sarah Blakely. I know some people love her and admire her and look at her as like the litmus test for women in business. I don't at all. I don't at all, because her sneaker shoes are so hideously ugly. I'm sorry. Not a single person in the world can convince me to wear her sneaker shoes, sneaks. They're awful looking. And for me, after one of the most like successful exits ever from Spanx for her, that is just a product, the sneaks product, that has zero product market fit. The only reason people are buying her shoes, I think, is to kiss her ass, because there is not a single shoe on the market that has survived that looks like that, because they're not cute. You guys, look at what we're wearing as women in the workforce. Like, give me a cute sneaker all day long, Veronica Beard or Anine Bing or Veja or whatever, but like a sneaker with a shitty little heel on it, like, no, absolutely not. So I'm having this conversation with ChatGPT about my board of directors, and he's trying to tell me about how good Sarah Blakely is. By the way, did I just gender ChatGPT? I guess I always do that. It's a he, right? Like, I think my ChatGPT is a he. Anyway, he doesn't understand women's shoes, obviously, because like Sarah Blakely's never going to make it on my board of directors list. But here's the thing about the board of directors list. Also, you need to determine what categories you want somebody to represent you in. Because if you're running like Uber, for example, you probably need, you know, somebody who knows a little bit about like technology, about transportation, insurance, safety. You probably need somebody who knows about investor relations, PR, right? If you guys haven't watched that, I thought I was going to call it Superbad. That's not what it's called. It's called Super Something. There's a really good, it's not a documentary, it's a show. It was on Showtime originally. I think it's on Netflix now, about the start of Uber. And Joseph Gordon-Levitt is he plays the CEO, Travis Kalanick. Sorry, I'm just like, this just popped in my head and I'm just going off of memory on this. But the founder of Uber, Travis Kalanick, eventually got fired by his board from the role of CEO. Like, a board is there to hold you accountable. So if you get a little bit too wild and out, they're going to kick you off of the team. And that's what you want. You want somebody who's going to hold you accountable. But how can you ask somebody to hold you accountable in a division they have no experience in? Like, you're hiring this board of directors to your company or to your life because they're good at what they do, right? So first of all, let me start with this ChatGPT prompt real quick to get you started. And this will be available, by the way, I think I'm putting it on Instagram. I'll put it on Substack too, so that you can copy and paste it. But here's what I put in. I put in, "Hey chat, act as a strategic advisor and help me build a personal board of directors to guide and support me in my business, relationships, emotional growth, and creative life." Here we're going to do a little fill in the blanks, okay? You're going to write, "I am a blank." We're going to put like your human design or your traits or whatever. "Running a blank, describe your business or your vision. And I deeply value blank." We put in your values, right? So to read it back through, "I'm a blank running a blank and I deeply value blank. Recommend 5 to 7 rules or archetypes that should sit on my personal board. Give each one a title, a purpose, and a description of the kind of person who would best fill the seat." The reason that you want to get these different sections or roles or archetypes defined is because everybody's life is different. And as you move through different seasons of life, you might have different things that you want to focus on, right? Like, if you are a parent right now, you're probably going to want a parenting expert on your board. Maybe your parenting expert is bringing up Bebe, that French book, right? About like how kids fit into your life, not the other way around. Or maybe it's Super Nanny. I don't know if she's still on TV, but like, that's the only parenting reference that I know, okay? Like, I don't have kids yet. So if that is important to you, you need to make sure that you call that out. Most of us are probably going to have business or career. You want somebody who understands your industry, your ambition, who can guide you with strategy, not just inspiration. This is huge. And this is the biggest thing about business coaches online is they're normally like, rah, rah, rah. Like Gary Vee, he just says, put content out, put content out, put content out. And he doesn't stop to say like, what industry are you in? Is it saturated? Are you a personality? Can you be on camera? Like, should you be on camera? Da, 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 da. You want somebody who's going to like zoom out, help you pivot and help you build something sustainable. Most of us are also probably going to have a money and wealth section because money is emotional. It's behavioral. It's not just logical. It's not enough to just be like, okay, I have a banker or a wealth manager. Like, maybe you need a little bit more than that when you want to talk about things like legacy and give back and reinvesting. Maybe you need a real estate coach. Maybe you need somebody out there that can help you navigate setting up, you know, savings for your kids. I don't know. I don't know what matters to you. I have on mine emotional health and energetics. I need a lot of help with regulation to help me manage burnout, to make sure I'm staying connected with my intuition, that my nervous system is regulated, that I'm learning from things that get in my way. Like, what do I have to learn after re-recording this episode 3 times? It's not about board of directors. It's about something deeper, right? I also have relationships on mine. As you guys know, in Old Money Mindset, I talk about it a lot, but I really want to make sure that I have somebody that helps me move through conflict with grace and deepen my connection, not just somebody that's going to be an echo chamber for me. Like, your girlfriends over wine is not the right person to have on your board of directors because they're going to be somebody who commiserates with you, not somebody that pushes you to look at the situation like a mirror. you want to have somebody on there that's going to make you better, that's going to make you sharper. And like they say, iron sharpens iron. So you better get somebody on there that's sharp, right? And then I also have like creativity on mine. Maybe you have public presence and visibility. Maybe you have a spiritual or ethical compass. Like I know Jewish people go to a rabbi when they have a spiritual quandary. I guess Christians do too. I guess if you're Catholic, you go to a priest. And if you're Christian, you probably go to a pastor, right? You guys can let me know in the comments. But like I said, like maybe they're not people. Like maybe it's a book that you really resonated with, or a philosophy, or a future self-visualization. Maybe it's a mentor you follow online, or it's a belief system, or some sort of framework for you to help make these higher level decisions. Because again, these people are here to advise you, expand where you're going, direct you, challenge you, and stabilize you across every area of life. And the reason this has become so salient for me, and this is so cringe, but I just learned about this new Gen Z word, or I guess it's Gen Alpha word, where they talk about Sigma. Have you guys heard of this? If you have young kids and they say this, like, please let me know. And please let me know if I'm getting this wrong. But this whole Sigma thing is this whole idea that you're a lone wolf and you're like out on your own, because Sigma, I guess it means like in a pack of wolves, it's like the one that goes out on their own. And I was thinking about us, our high achieving, probably eldest daughter type of profile that we have listening to Old Money Podcast. And a lot of us are out there doing it alone, and we shouldn't be. The more I try to do my business alone, the more I struggle. The more that I get support and encouragement and advice and good direction and good strategy from the people on my board of directors, and again, mine are real life board of directors, the farther I go with less effort, with less stress, and with more grace. And that's all I want. I want peace and harmony in my life, and I want things to flow. This is not the podcast you're going to listen to where I'm going to say, cast your manifestations into the world and then sit on your couch and watch them come back to you. No, it's like the economy's moving, consumers are moving, behaviors are moving, culture is moving. You think you're going to sit on your couch and let things come to you and not move when the whole world is moving? Like the only constant out there is change. So the people that are on my board of directors are the ones that are in tune with those things. And that's what matters to me. Like I'm creating an expansive cutting edge life and an expansive cutting edge business and podcast and the way that I show up in the world. So I want the people that are doing it with me to align with those values and with that vision. So a couple of things I wanted to just remind you of too, as you're chatting through with ChatGPT, is just the way that like real boards are run this in this day and age. Again, any publicly traded company, any large sale company is going to have a board of directors that guides the CEO. Because the way that a company is structured is you've got the executive board. So you've got the CEO, the chief executive officer, CFO, financial officer, marketing officer, revenue officer, technology. You have all these different types of high-level C-suite executives. Then you have presidents and vice presidents or division leads or managing partners or however the company is structured. And the board of directors, again, is not in the day-to-day. They're in the big picture visioning. They're the ones that are coming in with the expertise. They've already done this. They know what to do when shit hits the fan. And the reason a board of directors is so helpful is because if it's your first time getting canceled, I'm doing air quotes, but like getting canceled or having a PR crisis or having your stock price tank or going through a black swan event like COVID or whatever, imagine what your life would be like if you were the CEO of a publicly traded company when everything's hitting the fan. You need people in the room that are regulated, that know history, that are unshakable, that can understand the bigger picture and the bigger pieces at play, that have the information to say, oh, if this, then that, or with this information, I can regularly predict that blank will happen next, or here's a person I can call to help us. Because a board of directors is not just somebody who's super smart and has been there before. It's somebody who has good connections. It's somebody who has access to resources. And I think that that's really important. Like, who are you putting on your board of directors of your life? Like, who are you surrounding yourself with? Do they have access to higher levels of thinking? Do they have access to different types of people? Or are you pulling from the same pool? Because the one thing about modern boards is that they're very diverse. Okay, you might have had this idea in your head of all these old white guys sitting around a table, cashing checks, snapping necks, doing their thing, maybe in the 80s and 90s, but now we see a lot of companies who are really, really focused on representation. And I think that having diversity of thought and background is super important in business and in life because it makes sure, like I said, that you're not in an echo chamber with your mom and your sister and your friends who are just going to parrot back to you exactly what it is that you're already thinking. You need somebody who's going to push you. The other thing about modern boards is that they are all in all the time. This is not passive play, okay? This is somebody who's in the game with you. And this begs a question of like, well, how do I get somebody to really be on my board? Well, I have some mentors, for example, that are on my board that I also help them with their business stuff, or I participate and I'm always focused on giving. I am always focused on service to anybody who's in my sphere. So for me, this comes very naturally. But like one of my mentors, for example, he's a builder, he's a home builder. He's been in the home building industry for longer than I've been alive. And I have a huge meeting coming up this week. So last week I called him and asked him for advice. I'm like, hey, what do you know about this guy? He's like, oh, I know that guy. And I used to do yoga with him and I used to play golf with him. And here's what you need to know about that business. And I said, like, here's how I'm going to approach it. And he said, that's a great idea. Like, try this, da, da, da. So I have somebody to like talk about the game with, you know what I mean? And the reality is that some of the people on my board, I pay. Some of them have a vested interest in my business because I'm a client of theirs. And a lot of people that have businesses, and in fact, I just had lunch with a friend recently who's shared with me that she set aside 5% of the equity of her company for board seats or for advisors. And that's a super great strategy because she's giving away like a tenth of a percent to people so that she can call them. She gets them invested in her company in a way that is meaningful. It's on paper. They have a vested financial interest in the equity of the company. So when she exits, they'll get a return so that they can make introductions for her, so that they can, you know, I don't know, advise her on certain things or give her feedback. And it's not a big ask that she has of them, but it's making the table stakes real because at the end of the day, they're going to have a payout for their investment of time and effort and energy and resource. And it's a win-win situation because any resource introduction that they make is going to benefit the company, which they will eventually benefit from an exit. So they're in. You want to have people that are, you know, invested in you and your future in a very real way. And that's where relationships come in. That's what really, really, really matters here. The other thing is that you want a board that can productively disagree with you. Now, the first person I'm going to mention on my board is somebody who continues to tell me when I'm playing small, which I need all of the time. And I could argue all day long. I don't argue with her ever because she's always right. But I could argue all the time of like, oh, I shouldn't raise my price because this person's doing that and da 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 da. And she will say things to me like, you didn't come this far to only come this far. Let's go. Like, raise your price. Like, you do a better job. Let's go. And she will productively push me into the direction that I want my cruise ship to go. I want my cruise ship to go to Saint-Tropez. I don't want to go to Antarctica. So fortunately, I don't fight with her a lot because her time is very valuable and I'm not going to fight back on somebody I respect so much. But it's like she will push me in the direction that I need to go. And that's what you want out of a board. Obviously, you want somebody who will collaborate with you, not give you like directives. They need to be embedded in your, I guess I'd say company culture if you were a business, but like the culture of your life and the things that matter to you. Like if you are a very religious person and that's something that guides your North Star, then you should probably consider putting some people on your board that also follow that same ethos, right? You want somebody who collaborates and gets you culturally, like what really matters to you. And then most important is that I think a lot of boards now are a little bit more focused on a holistic approach. And back in the day, when I think about like the 80s and 90s, I'm thinking like Wall Street with, what's that guy's name? Charlie Sheen. That's who that was, right? In that movie, when all they were focused on, like the boards were all focused on profit. And nowadays what we see in these, you know, Fortune 500 companies is that the board is really set up to help the company be a good corporate citizen. It's not just about maximizing profits for the shareholders. It's about, are we being responsible ecologically, sustainably, with diversity and inclusion? Are we being smart about how we approach PR? Like, are we being thoughtful about all of these different things? And you really want a diverse range of perspectives that can really bring good corporate citizenship to your company or to your life. So this board of directors for me is actually posted next to my computer screen. It just have a list of these people. There are 11 people in 6 categories. That's right now. And like, maybe I'll come back to this board of directors next year again and see if these people are still relevant or if I want to switch them out or anybody else is new that's inspiring me. But I want to read you the board of directors for my life because these are the people that I think about on a daily basis. I'm not kidding. I am a solo founder. There's no co-founder in my business. It's just me and this piece of paper because this piece of paper not only helps me feel less alone, this piece of paper keeps me grounded into exactly what it is that I'm doing every single day. 6 categories, 11 people. Let's get into it. The first one, most important, business, my executive strategist, Jessica Marks from Tailored Premier. She is actually my business strategist. I am in the most incredible group of women with her. You've probably seen me if you follow me on social media, on retreats with her and her company. But oh my gosh, she is such a powerhouse when it comes to business. She's been on this podcast, so go back and listen to that episode. She has a podcast of her own, Millions Were Made. And even though I have direct access to her and she's in the day-to-day of my business and strategy and oversight, she is somebody whose podcast I listen to all the time and take notes on and implement. Like, it's always pushing me in the right direction. And second on my executive strategist team is somebody who's actually on Jessica Marks's team, Brooke Dumas. And I love Brooke so much. She is a bright light, my Michigander. Is that how you say that? She's from Michigan. Anyway, she's so cute and she's just so no nonsense. And it's so funny because I was just with them in Arizona recently and I was retelling the story to Brooke about this dialogue I had with somebody in business. And I said, like, I said this, and then she said that. And she goes, oh no, I don't trust her. And it's like, correct. The thing that that person said to me, it just screamed, I don't trust you. And Brooke is no nonsense. And she's just going to come in and be like, okay, like, this person's not trustworthy on the team. Goodbye. You're gone. Thank you for being here. And the thing about working with these two women is that they have their ears on the pulse of what is going on. I mean, Jessica's in the room with 7- and 8-figure founders all of the time. She's interviewing these people. She's networking with these people. She is doing research for all of our businesses all the time. And she is honestly so committed to helping us all succeed. It's the biggest blessing in business I have ever experienced. And I'm so grateful to be a part of this circle, not just with them, but with the curated group of women that are also in her advisory. Now, she's really helping me zoom out and scale very, very smart, whether it's through team dynamics, profitability, operations, pricing, packages. She knows the industry and she's committed to helping me win. And for that, she is the person that I'm always thinking, what would Jessica do? How would Jessica handle this? How would Brooke handle this? And just getting outside of myself for that quick little exercise always points me in the right direction, 100%. The second category on my board of directors is my energetics advisors. These people are, for me, the people that are telling me rest is productive because I don't need another productivity hack. I don't need to be more efficient. I need my nervous system to be good. I need my nervous system to be healthy. I need to be aligned with the universe because I can get really in the weeds. And so to keep my frequency clean, I'm constantly checking in with, first, Gabby Bernstein, who is somebody that I have access to through her app that I pay a membership for, the Gabby app. I'm on there every single day. Maybe it's doing a 1 to 2 minute meditation, or I'm pulling a little, what is this called? A little card reading. I'm just opening up the app. I'm pulling a card. It's this little like animation. I would show you this if I were on video, but maybe another time, girls. Okay. This card says, today I'm making the radical decision to release my fear and replace it with love. Great. Whatever. Love it. You open up the app, and then in here, I'm currently doing a relationship challenge, and then it's a daily practice for a 1 minute prayer. And for me, it's just about getting aligned for a minute, taking a breath, because I could go from TikTok to TikTok to email, and that slows me down in a way that I really, really need. Another person who does this for me is another former podcast guest, Julia Balto. She's my hypnotherapist, and honestly, I haven't even seen her in person much this year. The first half of the year, I saw her a lot. In the second half of the year, I haven't seen her very much, but I have her in my brain all the time. And I also have the recordings of our hypnosis because she's generous enough to record them so I can listen back to them. And even though I'm not seeing her on a regular basis, I think about her all the time. And the one thing I love about Julia is because I follow her on Instagram, and if you don't, you should go follow her too, Julia Balto. She will be doing the things in between her clients that I need to be doing in between mine. Like shaking herself out, like somatically releasing any anxiety or challenge, like blowing raspberries, shaking her face, doing the things that feel silly, that look silly, going on the walks, taking the breaks to reset her energy to bring her best self for her next client. She is modeling for me all of the time what I need to be doing. So I will find myself in between meetings like dead to the world and I'm just scrolling on Instagram, and I love it when she comes up in my stories so she can gently check me into the right direction so that I go do what it is I need to do to take care of myself. So Julia and Gabby are my energetics advisors. The next category on my list is maybe unique to me, but I'm running a creative agency. So I have on my category, the title is Creative Provocateurs. And for me, what this really means is finding the safety in being creative and being willing to be different and sometimes unliked, or do something that's unpopular or push the standards higher. And there are three people on my list for this: Virgil Abloh, Pharrell Williams, and Anna Wintour. And addressing them in reverse order, I'll start with Anna Wintour, known as the Devil Who Wears Prada, right? Meryl Streep's character. She is known for having exacting standards, take no shit, the whole flowers for spring, groundbreaking. I say that in my head, even though that's from Devil Wears Prada, not from Anna Wintour. I say that in my head weekly, because when we see an idea, a content idea or a campaign idea that's like the 12 days of Christmas or, you know, whatever, it's just like not thoughtful, that's what I think of. And I'm like, no, it's not creative. Do it again. Like, we are a premier creative agency. We're not phoning it in. We're not doing flowers for spring. That's not groundbreaking. So for me, Anna Wintour is about pushing the creative standards higher and always asking for more. Pharrell is the person who is doing more. And that's the other thing. Like, I'm not just asking my team to give me more without me providing more or doing more or taking more risks. I love everything that Pharrell touches. I fell in love with him when I was in high school. I used to be, fun fact, really into like underground hip hop, like Atmosphere and Del the Funky Homo Sapien and Hieroglyphics, and of course his early group NERD and Gorillaz. They were all big at that time, and I've been obsessed with him and his journey. And sometimes he wears a really tall silly hat, and that was like his signature. Good for him, he has his thing. And then he's, you know, been the creative director at Louis Vuitton. He's, if you've never been to his hotel in South Beach in Miami, it is so cute. It's called the Good Time Hotel. It is actually a good time, and it's very cute, very good design. But he's just somebody who continues to evolve, and he never stayed in one sector. I knew him as a musician, and then he branched out, and then he branched out, and then he branched out, and he's been in every area of culture. And for that, I really respect him. And I always think of him when I think about creative people and what they're doing, and if they would be afraid to take the risk. He's never afraid to take the risk. He doesn't miss. And then last on my list, the late and great Virgil Abloh. And the thing about him and the reason he's always on my list is because when he passed, it was so incredible to me, the tributes that came out to him. Because for me, and the thing that reminds me of Virgil is relationships. He was a relationship guy. He was always about the relationship. He had long-standing, incredible, deep connections with people in all areas of industry, and he impacted them in a really meaningful way. And for me, when I think about the creative industry, sometimes it can feel cutthroat. It can feel intimidating. It can always feel like more, 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 me, 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 new, new, new. And he was so grounded in relationships and partnerships and strategic partnerships that it always reminds me, like, you can still do great creative work while being aligned with other people in a very meaningful way where everybody benefits. So he stays in my creative zone because I'm always looking to, you know, break my only child tendencies of I can do this alone and figure out how to build better relationships. So that's a big one for me. The number four category that I have here is my finance. And you guys are like, who's your finance guru? My finance guru is a podcast. In the podcast, you've heard me talk about it before. It's called Group Chat. If there's one podcast that you listen to other than mine, it should be Group Chat Podcast. I am the number one fan of this podcast. I cannot shut up about it, but the reason I love it is because not that they give financial advice. This is not financial advice. They understand culture. They are the bridge between what's happening in government, what's happening in politics, what's happening in the economy, what's happening in culture, to make predictions that are just reading the writing on the wall. It's not about making predictions, as I just said. It's about just paying attention. And what I always learn from Group Chat is to pay attention. Like, I understand culture. I understand the way that people move. And I understand the way that generations trend and things. They get it. They understand it. And they are so good at giving the big picture. And if you don't know who they are, two brothers, Dee and Anand Murthy, and then also Chris Paff, aka Drama. He was on Robin Biggs. This is such a random thing. But the reason I even know about him is because my first job was in a skate shop where we used to play the DC video over and over and over again. And Rob Dyrdek was sponsored by DC. That's where he made his big break with his bodyguard, Big Black, in the DC video. And I used to watch it all day long. I thought they were hysterical. And then Chris came on the show, Robin Big, on MTV, where he was kind of like typecast as kind of like a dud and a loser, but he's actually super, super smart. He's an entrepreneur. Dee's an entrepreneur. Anand's an entrepreneur. They've had a clothing brand together, the three of them. They're also now doing their own projects. They are so freaking smart. And I love listening to them because they help me level up my game so much. So it's part of my ritual. Two times a week, they release a podcast on Sunday night and on Wednesday night. So on Monday mornings and Thursday mornings, I'm up extra early with Poppy, getting a coffee and listening to Group Chat Podcast because that is helping me keep my financial game sharp. Okay, the next category for me is the relationship mirror. And this is coming from a girl who's been to many a talk therapist and a couples therapist and a coach and a this and a that and the books. My relationship mirror is somebody that I do not know personally. And she has a show that I cannot even watch because it is too heavy. The person is Dr. Orna. The show is Couples Therapy. It's on Showtime. If you know what I'm talking about, you know what I'm talking about. But this show actually tracks real couples going through couples therapy with Dr. Orna. And it is heavy. It is also hard to watch because all these couples basically hate each other and you're watching them fight it out in therapy. Dr. Orna is the most patient, amazing, incredible active listener you've ever seen in your life. We could all take a page from her. But I started to see her clips on TikTok and become interested, not in what the couples were doing, but what she was saying. So I thought, you know what? I'm going to just find a podcast and see like what is her overall philosophy. And there's two things that I really love. Number one, she is a therapist who gets therapy about her clients. She is always workshopping her clients with her mentor. That's the whole practice here of the board of directors. It's like, we can't have all of the answers on our own. Like, who can help us navigate all of this? And she does that so beautifully and shares that on the show, which I really admire. And then the other thing is her main thesis of relationships and the reason why relationships are so hard. And I learned this from listening to her on many different podcasts, but if you're looking for one in particular, she was on Jay Shetty's show, and I thought that was a particularly beautiful episode. She was also recently on The Vile Files. But she was talking about how people in relationships are challenged because they're dealing with somebody's otherness. We are in this close proximity, constant contact with somebody that we're supposed to love and endear. And yet just the hardest thing about existing in that dynamic is that they're different than you. They have other thoughts than you, other values than you, other upbringings, other memories, other traumas. And it's just dealing with their otherness that is so challenging. And then getting them to accept you and your otherness is so profoundly difficult. Here's this quote. It's from the Jay Shetty podcast. And she says, when you're asking what the real issues are, at least from my perspective, I think if I had to summarize it in the most succinct way, I would say the real issue that couples face is that they're building a relationship or living with another person who's different from them, and that is really hard. It's very exciting. It's a source of growth. It's a source of desire. It's a source of lots of good things, but it's also incredibly difficult and annoying. whether it's like the small habits of another person or at the deepest core of who they are and their values and their politics, there are many ways in which the otherness of your partner infringes on you and puts you in all sorts of difficult positions. And then she goes on to say, if you go kind of deeper, I think part of it is, how do you respond to otherness? How do you respond to someone who's different from you in the smallest way and in the biggest of way? And for some of us, differentness poses a lot of issues, a lot of problems. It feels intrusive. It makes you question your own beliefs. It's you immediately get into questioning who's right, who's wrong, who's top, who's bottom. Otherness can trigger a lot of stuff, whatever the otherness is. And for me, that is such a huge, beautiful lesson on tolerance. Like, can you be tolerant to another group of people and their beliefs? Can you be tolerant to the person you love the most and their beliefs and their values and their wants and their needs? And often we're so intolerant with the people that we're closest to because we can abuse them the most because we know that they won't leave us. And that, for me, is the constant lesson of, can I be more tolerant, accepting, celebratory of the people that I love and their otherness without it infringing on me? So the lessons that I've learned through her have been profound, and they've also been grounding. So next to my computer, I see her name right here, Dr. Orna, do not forget. And then the last two on my list, these are my media coaches. And these are two people here that, especially as I'm in the season of trying to grow my visibility in a really healthy way, these two people for me have really pushed me, because the first one, I'm going to be really honest with you, used to trigger me. The first person on this list, I was jealous of, and I couldn't watch her stuff because I felt like she was growing her podcast and her brand and her things like the way that I wanted to do mine. And I was really like, I want to do that. But if I had this circumstance, if I had that circumstance, I wouldn't be doing that. And that was a big mirror and a big reflection for me, a big learning lesson for me that I went through the process in Old Money Mindset to say, wow, jealousy. What is that emotion showing me? What do I have to learn here? By the way, I have a great episode coming up about jealousy and what happens when you open your Instagram account and you get immediately jealous. I have that coming. But this person to me has now become my hype woman because she's crushing it and I'm proud of her, and I want to be building alongside her, not as a adversary, but as a companion. And that person is Hot Smart Rich. Her name is Maggie Sellers. She just got married, so her new name is Maggie Sellers Ream. Congratulations to her. And she's building this really incredible platform connecting women in business and mostly, I think, CPG brands and people that are looking for investing. And she's an early stage investor. And she's building this great media platform, which I used to argue like Hot Smart Rich is kind of like the opposite of Old Money, because, but it's not. I mean, I could argue that all day, but we're really more alike than we are different. We both want women to win. We both want to make great money. We want to have great relationships. We want to have great lives and adventures and be at nice places and wear nice things and learn great stuff. And she's somebody that used to trigger me and is now a motivator for me. She's an expander. And maybe she does have different circumstances than I, and maybe I have more excuses than her. But either way, she's my media coach because she's still showing up. And I'm the one that's inconsistent on whatever platform I need to be on. So she's now my inspiration. And my other inspiration on here is somebody who just won't shut up whether you want her to or not. Her name is Bethany Frankel. You know who I'm talking about. And I think Bethany is really a powerful force because no matter what is said about her, she never shuts up. She never stops talking. And for me, that type of tenacity is honestly impressive. I don't agree with most of what she does or how she says it, but she's continued to build presence for herself as the media landscape has shifted, as she's moved through different platforms and mediums on television or now social media. She's not the person that's going to say, oh, you shouldn't be recording if your hair's not done. She's showing up with bags under her eyes, a robe on, her hair is a mess, and she's going to get on the horn and she's going to tell you what she thinks, whether you want to hear it or not. And to me, that is very impressive. So that is my board of directors. 11 people, 6 categories. We have Jessica Marks, Brooke Dumas, Gabby Bernstein and Julia Balto, Virgil Abloh, Pharrell Williams, Anna Wintour, Group Chat Podcast, Dr. Orna, Hot Smart Rich, and Bethany Frankel. I'm dying to know who your board of directors are. So I want you to, I'm going to post a post on Instagram. I want you to go in the comments and tell me who's on your board of directors so that we can all get inspired and continue to grow and grow with strategy, with strength, with all the support that we need because you deserve it. Running a life, running a business, running a family is hard and we need all the help we can get. If you like this episode, please share it with a friend. Please share it with your mentor. Please share it with your board of directors. Please let me know if you listen to it. I love you guys so much. I'll be back next week. It might be on video. It might be audio. We never know what's going on around here, but I love you regardless, and I'll talk to you soon. Bye. Look at you investing in your rich life one episode at a time. You're not just listening. You're leveling up. If you have questions, comments, thoughts, or prayers, slide into my inbox at oldmoneypodcast@gmail.com or in my DMs on Instagram at oldmoneypodcast. If this episode made you laugh, think, or write down a single note, please do me a solid and rate, review, and subscribe. It takes less time than your morning scroll, and it helps this show reach more future millionaires. And speaking of growing the network, please share this with your ambitious bestie, your business buddy, or your secretly rich aunt. Please share the gospel of old money, and I will be more grateful than a trust fund kid on distribution day. Thank you for being here. I'm rooting for your bank account, and I will catch you on the next episode of Old Money. Remember, I am not your lawyer, I am not your tax professional, and I am not your financial advisor. The content presented in this podcast is intended to entertain, educate, inspire, and support listeners and their personal and professional development and does not constitute business, financial, or legal advice.